together. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, please, for our scripture reading today. The main text is both 9, 6 through 7, but we're going to read it all those verses, beginning at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. These are famous verses. We're going to talk today about the foretelling of Christmas, the prophecy of the coming of the Christ. Verse 2 begins this way. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And again, we're going to talk about Jesus, the light of the world, next Sunday morning during that service. Verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and staff of his shoulder and the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Then these familiar verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we can say amen to that. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. That's a promise. The zeal of the Lord, the verse winds up by saying, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's going to be something that God does. What God promises, he does. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer and just pray for wisdom as we delve into God's word today. Heavenly Father, we do give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you that we have this and so many other predictions of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you are the God that knows the end from the beginning. It is no problem for you to prophesy because you know it all already. And Father, I pray that you be with us now as we open these scriptures and take a look at them today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a lot being said today about the ability to see into the future. Some claim that they have the ability because they have psychic power. Others predict out of their ability to reason from current conditions. And people have that ability. The prophets of old, however, of the Old Testament, would get a message from God and relay it to the people. Sometimes the message was simply instructions or a blessing, and sometimes even a message of warning for wrong living. Many times God also spoke through these men, prophets of old, predicting certain events to come. And again, we've alluded to the fact that God can do that because he knows the end from the beginning. Now, this meant that the accuracy of the prediction depended on God, not on the prophet. Now, I had not thought about that specifically as I before I started working on this message. The fact that the accuracy comes from God is important. It's not the accuracy of the prophet, because he's not doing any guessing. He's not looking into his ability to reason. He is simply reporting what he has been told. By the way, the standard God set for truthfulness for a true prophet was easy to calculate. Anybody tell me? 100%. A biblical prophet had to be 100% right all the time. In other words, no prediction could be wrong, not a single one. Now, if they were wrong, can you remember what happened then? They were to be stoned. So theoretically, they didn't always stone false prophets, sadly, but theoretically, God said, take this man's life because he is not a prophet of mine. He does not speak for me. Now, what this does is that means that the chances of these men that say they're speaking for God and are not, the chances were pretty risky to guess, right? to just say, well, I think this is going to happen. Let's test it out. Well, that man didn't live very long under the regime that God set forth. Now, modern day predictors, like the late Jean Dixon, everybody remember her name? Now, she's dead now, but these modern predictors are considered very good if only they have 25 to 50% of their predictions come true. Even the many predictions of a Mr. Ray Kurzweil. Now, Kurzweil has made a musical instrument called the Kurzweil keyboard. As a byproduct of his other work, Ray Kurzweil is the principal researcher at Google and leader of the voice and print recognition software. His idea was to make it so that blind people could read a book, and a computer would help them do that. That's where all of his research started. Well, he's done that and so many other things. And now he's into artificial intelligence programming, and he has a record, a higher record than many others, of correctly predicting 86% of his predictions have come true about computers and the internet and things like that. Now, that's impressive, 86%. You and I can't come anywhere near that. That's impressive, but still not to the standard of a biblical prophet, which again is 100%. Now, with that in mind, the prophets that we are going to read after today in the scriptures, looking at the idea that Christmas was foretold, Christ was predicted that he would come. Now, we're going to take a look at that. Now, did you ever stop to think how vastly important it is that the birth of Christ was predicted long before it happened? Isaiah, that we read this morning, the writer of our scripture reading, died 697 years before the prophecy came true. And we're going to look at the prophecy of 714 there in Isaiah, that when the babe was born. Now, let me remind you, it was predictions of the coming of Christ that motivated wise men from the East. Many believe that the three wise men or more, okay, we only say that there are three wise men because there are three gifts. There could have been more wise men. You understand that. Many say that they were influenced by the teaching of Daniel from the days of exile, way before that. So Daniel's influence could have had an impact on these men as they were kings, but they were called magi, and they were probably into prophecy and things like that as well. But they these things didn't happen until 697 years after Isaiah the prophet had died. Now, let me remind you, it was predictions of the coming of Christ, again, that motivated these wise men and to strike out. And what were they in search of? The King of the Jews. So they understood from their training that they were looking for a king. Some other things foretold about Christ are his death, his dominion on earth and in heaven, his kingdom, the meekness of Christ, Christ's priesthood, his rejection, his resurrection, his crucifixion too, his sufferings, and his ultimate triumph over sin and death are all predicted in the Old Testament. Today, I want to take you to some amazing prophecies, not all of them by any means, just a few selected prophecies concerning the coming of Christ, the prophecies of the method of his coming, and the prophecies of this anointed one, of things he would do when he did come. So we're going to look at just some basic scripture here today and go through these. All right, our first heading is prophecies that Christ would come. All right, we'll go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you'll see on the screen there, chapter 3, verse 15, and I will put enmity, God says, between thee and the woman. God is speaking to whom there? The serpent, Satan. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The bruising of the head is the death of Satan, lake of fire eventually. And then the bruising of the heel is what? That's the crucifixion that the Messiah must needs go through to atone for the sin of mankind. So, in fact, many believe that Eve maybe thought her firstborn son was him. Now, he was not, okay? He was not the Christ to come. But she was so believing, so serious about this promise that God gave, that she believed maybe it could have even been her firstborn son. We're going to look at a couple examples next of from the book of Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 2, 7. Here's where he's called the anointed. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. What could that be talking about except the incarnation of the Messiah? Many use this verse to say, well, see, Jesus did not exist at all. He became a being, he became a human at the birth. Now, it doesn't say that. He said, this day have I begotten thee. The begotten there means he gave Jesus an incarnate body. Jesus, we know from Scripture, lived in eternity past, just like with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And we know that Jesus was God the day before, or before he became incarnate. He stayed God. Some teach that he stopped being God so he could be man. No, he was the God-man. Amen? That's very important to understand that. He was the God-man. And then also Psalm 110, 1. Oh, well, let's look first of all at Psalm 2:2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The key word there is he's called the anointed one, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. When did that happen? That's when they crucified and mocked and beat and put a crown of thorns on the head of Jesus. They were against the Lord. They took counsel together. There was a whole plot among the religious elite. We don't want this man set aside. We want him killed. We want him taken completely off the scene. And they finagled their way through. Was it two or three different trials, all of which were illegal? And then seeing him crucified on a cross. And then Malachi chapter 3. Says, behold, I will send my messenger. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus. And he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant who ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, one of my questions about this verse was, could this have been John the Baptist, the forerunner? No, couldn't be John the Baptist because he's called the messenger of the covenant. John the Baptist was the messenger of the coming of Christ, but he was not the messenger of the covenant. And this messenger is the one who he delights in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So that Christ would come was predicted by these and other passages in the Word of God. So today we're looking at Christmas foretold, the coming of Christ prophesied. And by the end, I think I can convince you that that's what happened. We're moving next to the prophecies, how Jesus would come. How would he come? The fact that he was coming would have been enough. But we have prophecy that specifically tells us how it would happen. Back in Isaiah, we referred to it a moment ago, 7:14. Isaiah says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. What? A virgin conceiving? Never happened before, and it's never happened since. But it did this time. It was a miracle. A virgin shall conceive, and what? Bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So there's a specific as to how he would come. Through the life of a young lady, upon whom the Holy Spirit would move, conception would happen, and she would bear a son, and even giving of the name, Emmanuel. And you might remember the name Emmanuel means God with us. You see how all these details come together today to prove that Jesus' life was prophesied. Look at Isaiah 9:6. For unto us is a child born, unto us a son is given. And then more details. This is how he will be received and what he will do. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Next slide, please. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, okay, Micah 5:2. But thou, thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come. Who? The Messiah. Shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. That can only be one person. Jesus is the promised ruler of Israel. It says there, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That proves that this Jesus lived forever with the Father in time past. He took on flesh, man and God combined in some miraculous way. I couldn't even think of doing it, let alone how to do it, but God did. Amen? God could be completely man and completely God at the same time. Anyone who confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord and is God is confessing a good thing. Amen? Now, we just looked at Micah 5:2. That is the birthplace. Now, look at Hosea 11:1, which says, When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. A prophecy of the days following the birth of Christ. We know this because of Matthew 2:15. You'll see it there. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. You remember the story. Things got kind of hot and heated to stick around Bethlehem or Nazareth or anything like that because of Herod the king. And this evil king, you remember the story, said, okay, let's kill all the boy babies from 2 years old and down. And some say that this could be some time lapse after his birth. But it could be just a mean king just picking out 2 years old and younger. And so all the boy babies were killed. But Jesus was spared. Why? Because Mary and Joseph took him down into Egypt for a time. And even that is predicted. Again, we're talking about how Christ would come. And we can be assured and convinced by that prophecy as well. Not only how Jesus would come, but also we're going to look at prophecies of the work of Christ. And there's a great, great number of prophecies for this, and we're not going to belabor that too long today. I'm told we've got a storm coming, and so we're going to finish up our Bible study rather quickly today. Prophecies of the work of Christ. Going back to our passage today, Isaiah 9:6. Specifically, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Is that happening today? The government is not on the shoulder of Jesus today. He is ultimately in charge. The triune God is sovereign and is orchestrating everything in the world. But right now, Jesus is not the head of the government. It says also, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Bible teaches that Jesus, even though born a babe in the manger, was God. It says it right there, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the next verse, now therefore, Daniel says in Daniel 9:25, and understand that from going forth the commandment to restore and build it, Jerusalem unto the Messiah. I've emphasized that for you. Messiah, the Prince. And there's that Prince of Peace thing again, shall be 7 weeks. And so the timing in those who study prophecy can time out some amazing things. For instance, I think I have time to share this. Remember the triumphal entry the day that Jesus was presented to Jerusalem, and they said, Hosanna in the highest, and they put palm leaves down. He came in riding on a donkey. If you use the Jewish calendar, you can actually calculate that this prophecy and others came to pass the very day his foot, or as the day he rode that donkey into Jerusalem, that Messiah would be presented. Was he received? Well, it sounded like it at first, right? Hosanna in the highest. But But then within just a few days, he was hanging on a cross. And that, of course, was part of God's plan as well. But he was a government leader, and he's called the Messiah there in Daniel 9:25. And our next slide, please. Isaiah 9:7, an increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. This is talking about the extent of the work of Christ. Again, has all of this happened yet? No, this is still unfulfilled, partly prophecy. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David was Jesus of the Davidic line. He absolutely was. The promise is that Jesus will be on the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. Is Jesus ordering David's kingdom yet? No, this is still prophetic. And to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. So the prophecies of his work are continuous. It's not going to stop. It's going to be a forever kind of ministry and ruling and kingdom and judgment, as it says here. Then Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21, we wrap up this part of it, and that is talking about the work of Christ, talking about what he shall do when he comes. Look at this verse. This is Matthew 1, 20 through 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, he was speaking to Joseph. This is before he was convinced that Mary was to be married and follow up on. Thou son of David. We see that Joseph was of the Davidic line as well. The angel tells Joseph here, fear not to take unto you this Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is what? Is of the Holy Ghost. So God incarnate now is what we see Jesus born here. Okay, in the work of Christ. He shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. It's the Old Testament Jeshua, Yesu, Jesus is the progression there. And we go to South America in Peru, and it's always Yesu. And it's still spelled the same, but it's Yesu. What's the point here? He will save his people from what? Their sins. The main reason Jesus was born and predicted that he would be is to save the sin of the world. Well, we can conclude then, because of all the predictions about Christ, his coming, his birth, his work on earth, that we can honestly say, and we can say even in a scholarly way, as we study the Bible, we can honestly say it was all truly foretold by God to man. And we understand why God would do that, so that man would anticipate that. And we can honestly say that Christmas was foretold, Christ was prophesied. Now, by way of application, now that we've seen this information, what should we do? And let me wrap up the message by saying this. We should, number one, understand that God is exactly who he says he is. Okay? Though that trust him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is. Amen? Our whole eternal life is depending on that true fact that God the Father is, and because he predicted that he would send his Son, his eternally existing Son, to become a human being, that Jesus is true. And then Jesus was very clear that when I go back to heaven, I will send you what? Another comforter, and that is the Holy Spirit. So we have the Trinity involved in this first application as well. Application number two, we should be assured that the yet unfulfilled predictions of the Bible will also come true. Isn't that logically correct? If these predictions came perfectly true, the yet unfulfilled, and some of these are mixed. Some of these are directly about Christ, and some are about Christ's coming and Christ's kingdom forever. And so we can be assured that the unfulfilled predictions that we read in the Bible, the fact that Jesus will come, and First Thessalonians talks about we shall meet the Lord in the air, that hasn't happened yet. And I hope you're ready for that. And we call that the rapture. We will meet the Lord in the air. And I love the phrase that follows there. We won't look at it in the scriptures. I love the phrase that says this: and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We are not with the Lord now. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen. One day our faith will be made sight. And we will see the Lord. And the promise is when we do see him, we shall ever be with him, never to be separated again. And then number three, we should apply the truth of these prophecies. For instance, Matthew 1:21 that we just read, the prediction about becoming the Savior from sin. The question as we close this morning is this: is he your Savior from your sin? Only your heart can answer that. I love John 1:12. First chapter of the book of John. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become what? The sons of God, the children of God, even to them that do what? Believe on his name. What does it mean to be saved? It means to believe and receive. It's just that simple. And that is the very verse that I shared with Keith Bullock in his home that Wednesday night. And he just came to realize that he respected the Bible. He knew the truth of it, but he had never believed and received. So right there on his couch, he received the Lord Jesus. Amen. The question is today, if you're watching online, if you're here gathered with us, has there been a time in your life when you have done that? You have put your faith totally in the Christ. We cannot pay for our own sin. Amen. That we can never, never atone for our sin. But we know a Savior who has atoned for that sin, and we must just believe and receive. I like the word trust. And our pastor uses that phrase a lot. Are you trusting the work of Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection? And that's what being saved is all about. These prophecies can be beneficial, we could say, to us today as we consider, has our sin been atoned for by the Savior? Would you stand with me? We're going to close the service right now. We told the deacons we'd be a little early today, and that's what we're going to do. Rather than sing carols again, I promise we're going to have lots of carols next Sunday morning, and some great readers, and a good message, and a time of communion as well. It'll be a great service, 10:30, not 11, 10:30, no Sunday school, and then no service tonight. Let's pray and be dismissed, shall we? Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the fact that you cared enough about us that you had Old Testament prophets write down the predictions about the birth of Christ, how he would be born, and his work. We're rejoicing in those prophecies that have come true. We're looking forward with all the faith we have to see the rest of the prophetic truth of your word come to pass. And we'll just thank you and praise you for it. Thank you for a great service time here today. We do want to close by praying for those that are sick. Many are, specifically our pastor. And we pray for him that you give him a strong voice so that we can have a good Bible study on Wednesday night. And Father, we thank you for the blessing of just being able to be in your house. We thank you for a good Sunday school hour. We thank you for a great time of worship and Bible preaching and teaching today. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Please be careful going home. They say there's a bit of a storm coming. Yes. There are gifts for everybody.